Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, what we have here... That was me spitting chalk. What we have here is a failure not to communicate, but to submit. This is Wretched Radio. One of the most shocking sentences I've ever read in a book was written by Dr. Ted Tripp, Shepherding a Child's Heart. He said, the number one job of parents, the matter of urgency that you need to get on immediately, is helping your child to submit. Why did he write that? I don't know, 20, 30 years ago? Because it's biblical. Second of all, it does appear, it's a trend in our culture that submission is one of the worst concepts that colonialists ever concocted. Why? Because it doesn't mean I get to be my authentic self. I gotta be me. That means if you tell me to do something, you tell me to not do another thing, I can't live autonomously. And that is my number one value. And if you try to step on it by telling me what to do, then you can step off because I'm me. Submission increasingly is an issue in our culture. And I have not one, but two proofs of that claim. Number one, I would like for you to imagine, especially if you're young, I hope you will hear this, and I hope you will be persuaded, not through reason and logic, but through scripture, that submission, that by coming under other people, is a biblical concept from beginning to end. Everything about life, as a believer especially, is about submission. And the reason that it's crucial is, first of all, God commands it. Second of all, because the place won't work if everybody is in charge. If nobody submits, if nobody just does what they're told, then there's chaos and there's anarchy. Why is it a spiritual, metaphysical law that a failure to submit leads to catastrophe because of the Trinitarian Godhead? That is how God orders himself, if you will, if I can phrase it that way. Father, he, Son, Holy Spirit, the Son, he submits to the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. In other words, the Trinitarian Godhead has an economic subordination. It's the way that the Godhead works. We're made in his image, and if we don't work like him, catastrophe. That is why submission is such a big deal. And I would say this to you, if you are on the younger end of the spectrum, and I'm thinking 30, maybe 35 or younger, you maybe didn't realize that messages have been sent to you, but they have been loud and clear. Don't submit. Do not put yourself underneath others' authority. Furthermore, so many of those messages tell you why, because they're either oppressive or they're idiots. Therefore, don't do it. And the two people who are perhaps the most oppressive and the biggest dodo birds, according to the world, are your mom and your dad. Don't submit to them. Now you say, I've never heard that message quite like that. Yes, you have. You've seen it. You've seen it in Disney movies. You hear it in music. There was a song. I just heard another song. Okay, I'm not sure. Jimmy, would you be so kind? Let's see if I got this right. Bruce Hornsby, okay. That's just the way it is. Would you Google the lyrics for that?
Yep.
Oh, I was sitting someplace and I could hear it in the background. And I thought, oh, that's another cast off authority ballad. You remember Mama Cass? This was the song that got used in the Barbie movie. That you don't, I was going to say, don't sleep in the subway. No, that's Petula Clark. Make your own kind of music. Sing your own special song. You're amazing. Nobody knows better for you than you. That has been the message that has been ringing in your ears. And I would like to encourage you to put some stoppers in your ears and to joyfully accept submission, knowing the Son submits to the Father. It doesn't diminish his role. It doesn't change his character, his nature. It does not alter how much we esteem and love him. It's the way things are. It's a spiritual, metaphysical law. And if you don't change your tune on submission, you're going to be kicking against the goads real hard, at least for a while. You're going to become very disgruntled. You're going to be very agitated, starting with your parents. And then it will be your professors. It will be your boss. It will be political leaders. How dare they tell me what to do? Jimmy, you got the Bruce Hornsby lyrics?
I do.
Let's hear it.
Standing in line.
No.
What? No,
just sing it.
No, I can't do that.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Make everybody feel jealous.
I don't want to do that to Bruce Hornsby. Standing in line, making time, waiting for the welfare dime because they can't buy a job. The man in the silk suit hurries by and he catches the poor old lady's eyes. Just for fun, he says, get a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Some things will never change.
That's just the way it is, but you don't believe them. He said, hey, little boy.
Wait. But don't you believe them?
But yeah.
That was the line that caught me. If I'm hearing that right, that's just the way it is. Some things will never, don't you believe, change things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't accept the status quo. Don't submit to those who have written the rules to date. It's your turn now. You got to do it your way. Any other lyrics in there that would indicate that? Maybe I'm making too much of the deal, but.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Mm. Here's the scenario. If you're a young person, you are going to apply for a job. You made it past the resume part of the examination, and you are going in for an interview. The individual, perhaps the, I don't want to use the wrong word, the person who sits at a desk by the door, because I don't want to be pejorative with those old-fashioned labels like secretary, offers you a cup of coffee. You're thinking, you know what? I think that I'd enjoy that. You then get called into the office. You spend time in the interview. The individual says, it's been such a pleasure to meet you. We'll be in touch. Shakes your hand. What do you do next? What are you thinking right now? Are you going to, what's your next move? Think about it. And then consider this little internet skirmish that's going on. There's an individual named Trent Innes. He's from Melbourne, Australia. Apparently some software guru guy. He was on a podcast called The Secret Job Interviewing Hack to Recruit the Right Staff. And he said that he escorts job interview candidates to an office kitchen and offers them a cup of coffee or another beverage before he moves on to questions. Candidates who don't offer to take their empty cups back to the kitchen at the end of their interview are unlikely to get a job from that man.
Wow.
Whoa. Now, it's being debated. Jimmy, just so you know, that's not something we do with all of the people who are applying to all of our career opportunities here at wretched.org/careers. But people are saying it's either good or bad. And I thought it was worth noting that it appears that the younger generation hates it. They think it's ridiculous. And there were so many comments, but I feel like it's weird to wash your own cup at an interview when you're a guest there. I guess you could say you're a guest. You're trying to sell yourself. You're out doing business. You're trying to make an impression. And this type of mindset indicates, hey, they should be thrilled to have me. Now, should they? yes. But your attitude going in should be, I'd be thrilled to get a gig so that I can work like a Christian is supposed to, so that I can eat because I'm an image bearer of God. I'm going to be the best laborer that they have. This type of attitude reveals that there's a role reversal confusion going on. If we're still in the kitchen, yes. But if we're in a conference room and I leave, I'm not walking around the office again. I don't work there yet. And online. This is, in my estimation, an example of the confusion about roles and authority. Younger educated women are less likely to change their names upon marriage, especially if they are educated. Why? Because they want independence. They want to be in charge of everything, especially themselves. The Bible says there are roles inside of marriage and submits to the husband. May I ask you a question, young person? Are you going to listen to what the world says about submission or the Bible? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate it when you tune in and you listen to Wretched Radio and you check out our other resources that are available at wretched.org. Thank you for listening. We couldn't do this without you, because who would listen? Who would watch? We need people to watch and listen in order to continue doing this. So thank you for supporting us in that way. Now, if you would like to take our relationship to a higher level, we also need your support financially, because just like if we don't have listeners and viewers to listen to and view the content, we can't produce it. Well, if we don't have the financial resources, we also can't produce the content we produce. And so we need your help in that regard as well. So if you've ever considered becoming an ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partner, we would certainly appreciate that. We have answers for any questions you could possibly have available at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others. It's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Important dates in Christian history. 1948. The World Council of Churches is formed as an interdenominational body promoting Christian unity and presence in society. Modern ecumenism saw differing denominations work together in spiritual and social causes, but also resulted in the watering down of Christian doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
2, 3, 4. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, do you remember the last segment that we concluded? We were talking about a little test that a software guru applies to people who apply for jobs in Melbourne, Australia, offers them a cup of coffee in the kitchen. So they go to the kitchen so that they know where the place is. They bring the cup of coffee into the office. If when the interview is done, the person does not return the cup and or wash it or put it on the counter, they don't get the gig.
Right.
And after the segment concluded, 2, 3, 4, you said what?
That's a toss-up. That's a hard one for me to wrap my head around. I get the sentiment, but I'm not sure that's... I don't know.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Hicks.
Okay.
Would you ever drive a Ford automobile?
Would I ever? Mm-hmm. Yes, I used to.
Wow. Do you know that Henry Ford, it was rumored, would take a candidate to lunch, and if they salted their food before tasting it, he wouldn't hire them.
Why?
Because...
Is that not a personal preference?
But they haven't tasted it to know whether it needs salt. So I think it was like a thinking issue. Mm. If you just mindlessly add an ingredient, you don't know if that dish needs it or not.
Okay, yeah.
So you're going to do that in the workplace too. You're not going to think about it. You're not going to test. You're not going to be aware. You're just going to do. So you're a bad decision maker, I think was Henry Ford's conclusion.
Okay.
That's a bummer because you know what? Do you want to know what I think salt needs? More salt. goes on ice cream. By the way, do you know what really goes well on ice cream? This is gonna unless you're from Italy, this will kind of go, whoa, what are you talking about, Willis? Balsamic vinegar.
What?
Oh man. There are balsamic vinegar competitions in Italy. It is a big deal. And one of the ways that they taste it is on ice cream, because a good balsamic, Mancilla, but even that needs salt. The point is, there are certain tests that employers apply to try to determine the thinking process. And the one that's gotten all kinds of revitalized attention, because this interview where this former CEO, I believe he was a CEO, used this hack for hiring, was recorded in 2019. It resurfaced because kind of touches a button. Here's what one person said in response. I have to ask, do I want to work for someone who is manipulative and poorly communicates their expectations? That to me reveals an attitude that is confused about who has the authority, who's running the place, and whether or not that individual will joyfully submit. This, to me, is an attitude revealer, whether or not it's a good test. If you hire people, well, that is totally up to you, whether you choose to use the coffee cup test or not. What struck me were the responses of this. I don't want to work for someone who's manipulative. Not manipulative, they're testing you and poorly communicates their expectations intentionally because they have an organization to protect. If this is what they're like during an interview, what are they like as a boss? Well, my question, I think, would be the exact opposite. And that's what this fellow is after. If you're not willing to clean up after yourself, what will you be like as an employee? What will you be like as a guest at somebody's house? And so the job interview coffee cup test, you can debate whether or not you want to apply that. But my question is for you, especially if you are younger. Do some digging. Check your heart. Now, here's the reality. All of us have an inclination to not submit. That's just our bent. That's our flesh. If you are in Christ, that's your old carcass saying, no, me, my, because we're all me monsters. We're all Captain You planets, aren't we? And we think that we know best in every single situation. Ergo, I don't submit to anybody. To that, I would say, as Christianly as I can, good luck. Good luck. Because whether or not society accepts the idea that there are roles of authority and that there's submission, doesn't matter. A culture that has structures will succeed. a culture that doesn't, it will. No, it can't. Because this is the way that God has ordered the planet. The same thing is true with this particular study on women who don't want to take their husband's name. Maybe you've never considered, why is that a cultural norm up to date, till this date? Well, it's because we were informed mostly by the Bible, and we actually believed Ephesians chapter 5, that the woman acts as a helper, which, by the way, God calls himself. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, I think it's in John 15, 16, he calls him the helper. We're talking about here as a helper. And you don't hear the Holy Spirit going, oh, I'm not going to help. I'm running the place. Well, he is running the place, but he helps. Why? Because it is the way that the Trinitarian Godhead functions. And that is the way that we must function. And so if your heart is very resistant to the idea of submission, I would encourage you to figure out why. It might help by asking, has the world gotten in? Have I been buying Bruce Hornsby and make your own kind of music, philosophical worldviews? Am I an individual who joyfully submits whatever the context is? In church, if everybody thinks that they should be running the place, we're just going to make the pastor's life even more difficult than it already is. I was just reading an article, by the way. We've been seeing these studies. I think the Christian Post did an article titled The Great Resignation, that the number of, like half of pastors are thinking about just cashing in their chips and getting out because of the pressure that they're feeling post-COVID. It's even more, because it's always been, but it's even more because of these cultural issues. He's got a tough gig. And if we're all vying to be hurt, you've got to do it our way. You need to preach this series. Why aren't you running that ministry my way? Church won't function. Won't work. Can't work. Neither marriage. Neither will your career. Now, it could be that we're going to have to see this kind of play itself out, because we will discover eventually, some of these things tend to correct themselves, that everybody running the place can't work. It won't work. And if you're younger and you can grasp this and not see it as an assault on your dignity, but the joyful role we all play, everybody submits, I'm telling you. Everybody has to submit to somebody. You say, not John MacArthur. Oh yeah, John MacArthur has to, he's got boards, he's got elders, he's got a church. Whether he's got car payments or a mortgage, we all have to submit. And ultimately, we all have to submit to God himself. And it is a very visible indicator if we fail to submit in our roles, whether it is in marriage, whether it's children with parents, there's another one, or whether it's work, whether it's in culture, well, then you're going to get the Romans 13 sword, because there must be order. And if you refuse to play your role of submission in whatever realm that you're in, it is an indicator, an almost sure indicator of your lack of submission to God. That should terrify us, all of us. That's a scary thought. You have a test. This isn't like a pregnancy test seeing two lines. No, this is a surefire test. If you can't submit to people you see, it's almost certain you're not submitting to the God. Let's use this, all of us, been pointing a finger at younger generations because it seems to be an even greater issue. Please note I said an even greater issue. It's not a unique issue. This has always been the bent. This has always been that. Consider Absalom. His dad was a moron in his estimation. He didn't want to submit. He didn't want to play his role. So what did he try to do? Kick dad off of the throne. So this ain't nothing new, as Solomon rightly said. But I think it's even more extreme today because cultural norms are not normal anymore. They're being erased. They are being rewritten. And wow, are they coming up with some crackpot ideas? Don't listen. Don't go for it. You will advance. I'm telling you, not only do I believe it's biblical, not only do I believe that it is going to bring you joy in the environment that you're in, but you're going to advance. You're going to do better. You'll be a better, you'll be a more valuable church member. You'll be a more valuable family member. You'll be a more valuable employee. Please search your heart. And if submission gives you the real heebie-jeebies, ask yourself, does that mean I'm not submitting to the Lord? That should get all of our attention. This is Wretched Radio.